got ourselves a writer here.
Hey, Dad, I can't see real good. Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
Huh? Well, actually, Matt, Ellen and I have encouraged Brian in his writing.
Dad, I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
Now, I wonder, Brian, from what I've heard, you're using your paper not for writing, but for rolling doobies. You're gonna be doing a lot of doobie rolling when you're living in a van down by the river.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another week of Muskies on Tap. I'm your host this time, Gus Manti. I know we had ours truly, Brian, bring us in last week. Sorry, Brian, left you hanging there. I didn't really edit any of that for you. People got the taste of your first intro. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Won't be his last. I think we'll bring him back, bring him to redeem himself. But anyways, before we recap everything that just happened this past week, let's introduce the other hosts on here tonight. Let's start with my brother, Max. Max, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, man. Old mixed reviews coming out of the camp tonight here for me. Fantastic week up in Eagle River with the PMTT Championship last week. A lot of fun times. Good to see everybody. We'll get into all the fishing side of things here during this episode tonight. So I'll just keep it brief. But yeah, excited to be here tonight. Excited to kind of recap everything that went down. Kind of go over some lessons learned and all that good stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think sounds like I'll be heading back up to the North Woods here this weekend to do a little bit of fishing with you. Maybe get some revenge on the North Woods a little bit. Back is still jacked up. So that's an issue that's going to have to resolve itself here, hopefully in the near future. But enough complaining out of me tonight here. Let me introduce our third co-host. Some even say our most talented co-host, Mr. Wow. Brian Eckel. Brian, how are we doing tonight?
Wow. Thank you for the kind words. Feel blessed to be here now. Happy to be here. Happy to hear about what all went down for you guys in the championship. I got a little tidbits through a text, through a group chat here and there throughout, but excited to hear some more detail from you guys. Not a lot of fishing on my end. I'm going down to Madison this weekend for a little makeshift Ryder Cup with a big group of guys. So
nice.
Looking forward to that. Playing, I think, 45 holes Saturday into Sunday. Kind of like you, we'll see. This will be a test on my back. We'll see if you know, some of these stretches and core workouts have helped at all, but I don't know. I'm not too optimistic.
Dang, that's a lot of golf. That'll be a good time. I was thinking about you last week when I started having all my issues. I was wondering if what you had go down was contagious or what the hell that was all about, because I felt like we were kind of in the same camp there. And I totally get it now after, you know, you had to miss out on our little golf rendezvous over draft weekend because of your back. There's no chance in hell I would have been able to swing a golf club. I was lucky enough, was able to kind of, you know, take as much medication as possible to kind of get me through the championship, but I felt about all I could muster.
Did you have a Rodgers game? A little Rodgers Percocet at halftime?
I mean, would have been great to have a Rodgers Perc game and make the full comeback and come back and win, but not to spoil it here. I'm sure those that are tuning in this week probably already know the final results, but with that said, Gus, why don't we actually tee those up and congratulate those that got it done here this last weekend in the championship?
Yeah, let's get into that first, and then we'll get on the deets about leading up to the tournament and during the tournament and all that good stuff. So first, let's start with the 2024 PMTT Top Gun Team of the Year. Goes out to Jason Summers and Dan Watusik. Congratulations to them. Fantastic season. That is rewarded to the team that is the most consistent throughout the whole year. I want to say this year there were no teams to catch a fish in every single event. So it did come down to the wire. The points were pretty close. We yours truly, Max, and myself, we play second for Top Gun Team of the Year. Right behind us again was Tate and Ty Sennett, right on our heels. They're always up there. I feel like their name is at one, two, or three the past however long they've been doing it, pretty much. So congratulations to the Top Gun Team of the Year finals, top three there. And for the top five, we'll start off with another local team here to Clayton Spies and Nick Amrose on fifth place. Congratulations to them. They worked extremely hard, and maybe we'll get into an unfortunate detail on the fifth place that could have been and should have been up higher, but we'll get into that later. It was very unfortunate. But at fourth place, we got Tate and Ty Sennett. They bagged two. Or sorry, I forgot to say, Clayton and Nick, they got a 37 and a quarter and a 35 and a quarter. Tate and Ty Sennett at fourth with a 40-incher and a 34 and a half. Third place goes to Brian Barker and Merrick Ball. If I pronounced that all right. 42 and a quarter and a 32 and three quarters. All those points were pretty darn close. And same with here in second place goes to Nate Osfer and Brian Krell with a 35 and a half, a 33 and a half, and a 31. They were the only team to catch a fish all three of the days, which is quite impressive with what we were dealt with weather-wise. And then a little bit of a leap ahead here for points. We got first place to Ken Trail and Michael Handlockton. I hope I did that all right.
Nailed it.
Hopefully. Sounds all right. Good. They congratulations to the 2024 winners there with a 46 and a half, a 36 and a half, and a 31. I believe they got the 36 and a half and 31 on day one, the 46 and a half on day two, and nothing on day three, but that is all right. They didn't need it. So congratulations to them, to everybody.
Yeah, it was an interesting event. I guess I could start off by saying, holy shit.
Sure, I know, right?
We thought that the Eagle River chain was really going to kick out a pretty action-packed event, especially being during late September, which is historically a great time of year for that body of water for a litany of reasons. Just like most, you know, really bodies of water in Wisconsin, Minnesota, all over the Midwest, really in Canada, this time of year is always kind of considered, you know, one of the better months to fish out of the musky season. And we were just dealt with what you'd probably consider the absolute epitome of worst conditions known to man in September, which is a gigantic heat up with absolutely zero wind, zero clouds. I think I made multiple jokes that I hadn't seen a cloud in over a week up there. It was just high skies, blue skies, dry, minimal to absolutely zero wind. And cumulatively, that resulted in small fish, not a lot of fish, not a lot of bites for people, and a lot of boat traffic. Kind of felt like a little bit of the 4th of July-esque type weekend out there. I mean, the weather was just phenomenal. If you're out enjoying a cocktail and your pontoon or, you know, whatever, we were seeing jet skiers, we were seeing wakeboard boats. I mean, you name it. It was out this last weekend. So don't want to be all doom and gloom here tonight. We got a lot of fun things to kind of recap and get into, but yeah, it was, to sum it up, it was a very, very difficult weekend of musky fishing, I would have to say. And I think part of me is a little bit bummed because a lot of people traveled from a long ways away to come fish what I would consider a really fun body of water with a lot of muskies in it. And they were dealt a really shitty hand with trying to figure out that system in a short amount of time with really, really, really inactive muskies. So there's my rant. You know, just a bummer. I was really hoping that this tournament was going to just be an absolute, you know, shootout and kind of give the Eagle River chain and the Eagle River area a little bit better of a name for especially these people coming from out of town to fishing it. But you know, that's tournament fishing. You kind of have to play the hand that you're dealt. Brian, as people like to say in the golf world, you know, everybody's playing on the same greens. So it is what it is. Obviously some were able to figure it out. You know, we, Gus and I were able to manage one fish on Friday morning, but you know, I think to tell the whole story, we could probably just back up and maybe start with, go ahead, Brian. We'll start with some of your questions.
I mean, I don't think the outcome of this tournament tainted the image of the chain too much. I mean, most of these guys have fished this in the past in previous PTT tournaments. It's not like this is their first trip to the chain and it was like an experiment and it failed. So, I mean, everybody I think would agree it was just shitty conditions and musky or musky in those conditions. And it is what it is, bad timing, but to back it up, I guess, if we just want to quickly go through pre-fishing, I mean, obviously this is a place, we've all pre-fished for about 20 years, but, did you guys try to mix it up a little bit? Did you guys have much action pre-fishing, or when did this whole system kind of shut off?
We started the week during that good, little bit of a cold snap, actually fishing with our good friend Taylor Flannery, hopped in the boat the first day that Max arrived. I think we all, you came into town and we went straight to the lake once you arrived on the Monday prior to the trip. And we had a good day out there. You know, we tried some new stuff. We, a lake system that Taylor's never fished before. He's mapped out a little bit, something that Max and I kind of know, and I've fished on my own as well, and never really had that much of great of luck. If anything, it always left a bad taste in our mouth. Yeah. So,
yeah. And we touched on a lot of that last week for the podcast, kind of going through some of those first few days.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I didn't mean to back up too far.
You're good. I just want to, I'm antsy to, I guess, cut to the chase. I apologize.
No, it's all good. my brain, a little brain fog here happening. But that was a great night. Got a nice fish. I was really stoked there. But moving on to the more tournament stuff, I think we cut that out last week. And what Max and I actually ended up doing was, I think we spent two mornings. Days we didn't spend a good chunk of time out there checking things out. We actually did a little bit of mapping on some areas I don't fish a lot, just to kind of, I don't know, check on the weed edge, see what's kind of there and gone, and I knew within the past month some of the weeds have kind of died off, and looking for the green ones that are still around. And we threw baits that we were kind of trying to move fish. We really didn't mind if we caught one, but we were fishing basically stuff that I would not never, just stuff that we have never fished before. We just wanted to try some pretty random stuff. We definitely put our boat in a few spots where they were kind of like extreme community spots, you know, spots we were maybe thinking of fishing during the tournament, that we just wanted to see if there's a megapod on there, or see if we could, you know, burn a fish maybe, who knows. But overall, it was pretty uneventful. We side imaged a handful, put some waypoints down, found some bait. We raised one nice fish, like a 41, 42 on a single bladed bucktail that, you know, looking back, of course, during the tournament, we never saw that fish, and it was coming in pretty hot on my blades, and I guess in hindsight should have just caught that fish. It was coming flying in and could have probably eaten on the first or second turn, but I pulled the bait out and dropped the waypoint. But that was pretty much it for the most part. It was just the two mornings, you know. It was fairly uneventful, but I don't know. You got anything else to add there, Max, on kind of what we were doing?
No, I mean, I think, you know, when you talk about fishing a tournament on your home lake, and, you know, you hear people that really dislike it, I can kind of understand why, especially from a pre-fishing standpoint. You know, one of the more fun aspects of going and fishing a tournament is kind of getting to a body of water that you're typically not on all the time. You know, you go, you break down some spots, you find some stuff that you like, and then, you know, you kind of go from there. Where I think we had a pretty hard time trying to figure out exactly how we wanted to pre-fish. You know, like Gus said, we were fishing some really random areas, a few spots we maybe were going to look at the tournament. But I mean, like you said, Brian, you know, we've been on that body of water for such a long time. We kind of knew the areas we were going to fish. I mean, it wasn't really anything we were going to do pre-fishing was going to change our game plan for the tournament. So I think that one point in time, it was like Wednesday afternoon. It was kind of like, what are we even doing here? Like, let's just go fish somewhere else. So we actually ended up hopping on some different bodies of water, had some fun. We went and kind of experimented on a different lake on Thursday. So, you know, going in, we felt pretty good. I mean, even fishing some kind of, you know, quote unquote C or D spots on the chain. You know, we saw a couple fish. We kind of felt pretty decent about our chances on getting fish early on Friday, just with some of the spots that we knew we were gonna fish. You know, we felt confident that they were still gonna be there, which they were. But yeah, pre-fishing wise, it was just kind of not much to unpack because it was like we're just not really doing our typical pre-fishing stuff. So you know, it was interesting. But I think the highlight, honestly, of the week pre-fishing was we had a bunch of people over from the trail and got to hang out with some other teams and groups and you know, kind of do that. And that's a huge aspect of what makes fishing the trail so fun, is just getting together with some people that, you know, come from all over the place to fishing this stuff and hearing their stories and hearing about their trips to, you know, St. Clair or Canada or Minnesota or wherever it is. Just makes you realize there's just a lot of stuff to fish out there in the world. So had a really good time, and so that was honestly probably the biggest takeaway from the week of pre-fishing.
I was gonna say it sounds like something a loser would say.
Hey, whoa.
I'm just kidding.
Uh,
So let's see, Friday morning then, if you guys are ready to move into the bright spot there, what all went down?
so I was just gonna quick add kind of to like what Max was saying on pre-fishing. We didn't really need to touch what we knew we were going to fish during the tournament, because we just more or less, the way I describe it is, we were kind of going off of history and a little bit of how my guiding has been on the chain, you know, about 3 weeks leading up to the tournament. You know, common areas where I saw them or where we were mostly getting bites. And we just kind of took a game plan of like, here's this stretch right here, A1, got to start with it, you know, something like that, or at least hit that second spot and kind of go from there and seeing what we can find, you know, based on the first couple drifts of the morning, how the weather's feeling, like, should we even be moving fish? Is it not, you know, getting good yet? And but as everybody knows, we had that stagnant weather. There was no such thing as a wind pickup on Friday. If there was, it was maybe for 5 minutes at like 1 p.m. or I don't know. Friday was brutal. There was zero wind. I think Saturday it started to get a little more wind, and then Sunday was actually when wind showed up. But Friday's game plan was starting with blades, I think. Max, you started with blades. And I want to say I had a topwater and rubber rigged up, and I think I threw that topwater for all of four casts. And I'm like, this ain't it. That sun was already up pretty high. We started at 7. That sun was rising by 6:30 with zero clouds in the air or in the sky. Sorry. We had these long, elongated shadows that weren't giving me much confidence with topwater and such. And I don't know. That just kind of threw me off a little bit from the start. I don't know about you, Max, you know, with some of the spots we started with where we had our shadows going like the length of our cast damn near, you know, like having
Yeah, I
that
mean,
feeling, it just felt weird, you know. It felt wrong to be casting there. Like every and the first fish that came up, you know, Max raised one on blades in the first 4 minutes of the tournament casting. Not even, I don't even, it didn't take long. And our shadows were over our baits, and I can't help but think that maybe that didn't help, you know.
I don't know, man. I remember, like, the spot that we started at that morning is a certain area that, like, it felt like you really could have gone to at any point in time during the summer and at least saw a 35 inch or hooked one. Like, it was just such a money drift for us all year. For Gus's guiding, the few times I went out solo, I was just like, all right, I'm gonna go right there and catch a fish here real quick and then kind of get on with the day. So we go there, yeah, sure enough, within the first, like Gus said, I mean, it probably was my fifth cast, and I had this fish come in just lazier than shit, and that was kind of like a, oh hell no. this is gonna be a long day if the fish are acting like this. Because yeah, I mean, it came in good, like 4 or 5 feet behind the bucktail, made a turn 3 or 4 feet behind it, like it wasn't even thinking about eating. So I just was kind of one of those things to start the morning where it was like, all right, I you know, are we going to have to change the game plan like quick, or do we just stay on it with these types of baits and kind of see what happens? But yeah, I mean, we knew it was going to be tough with that weather forecast. So I guess I wasn't too disheartened, you know, to see a lazy fish. It was good to at least see one right away. Kind of got the nerves going early, but I mean, yeah, kind of a bummer to work through that spot. Work through a handful of other really good spots right away and just, you know, nothing for action for the first, you know, hour or two that morning, which, you know, it just is what it is. You know, you're out there and you were like, we know there's fish here. They're just not doing anything. And as the time kind of goes on, the pressure starts to mount a little bit. Obviously, we knew it was just Friday morning and everything, but it's like, still, we really wanted to knock that first fish out of the way, like, right away, you know. So yeah,
I know what you mean with that, just the weather and how the fish were reacting and stuff like that. I can't help but every time the weathers are so shitty and so stagnant, I would say, like, that's how I would call the weather, just stagnant, just nothing's moving, not, you know, in nature at all. This is the meme from The Office where everyone's like pointing their fingers at each other with like the guns. Yeah. It's like, who's moving first? Who's moving? You know, the fish are gonna move. Are we gonna move spots? Because you, like, Max and I were playing the game of, since we're on home waters and we have, you know, countless spots out there on the chain, like, do we run and gun or do we hammer these few spots? And I'd say overall we did a little bit of a mixture, and by the end of Sunday, we probably hit upwards of 40 different spots on four of the lakes of the chain. And I know there's even some people that ended up fishing every single lake of the entire chain throughout the tournament. So people just were on the move. Yeah, that's, I mean, we could have maybe done it. We just would have sacrificed way more time because our boat doesn't go as fast as anybody else's. I mean, it gets going 35 miles an hour or so, but we decided to kind of keep it more to certain areas. And I'd say at some point, you know, when our confidence was going away, that's when we really started to run and gun, which I don't know if that bit us in the ass or not, you know, but I felt good originally going in. If there was any way of halfway decent weather, I would have said, hell yeah, we're running and gunning and hitting every cherry of every spot. Cause like, if they're even moving and going on something, you know, that's where we probably would have had the upper hand, where if we would have done a normal strategy of somebody of kind of like what we do when we go into a new system, we just hone in on an area we like, found some fish, found some bait, and we just beat it to a pulp by the end of the weekend, you know, and I wouldn't say we exactly did that. And,
Gus, would you say that the chain, I guess, in contrast to other bodies of water that might be like deeper, more clear, when you have bad weather, the fish on the chain are like less likely to kind of move around, like they'll just stay in the weeds or, you know, shallow structure, mm-hmm. hunker down, not eat, where like other bodies of water, like, okay, they're not in the weeds, we can back up off it, we can find them in deeper water and they might be active. I don't know. In my head, I just feel like the fish just kind of disappear and they might still be in the spots, they just don't move.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. You know, the chain is stained water, changes color throughout the year during the tournament. It's green, it bloomed up, The water clarity was actually pretty decent on some of the lakes, whereas some of them were really blooming up. You know, it kind of just changed throughout the weekend a little bit. But my thoughts on these fish when it gets really tough, at least exactly what we saw this weekend, is they were hunkered down in the weeds pretty good, where you can't really side image them at all, where they're active. And we actually side imaged a metric pile of these fish all weekend. Probably, I think it was close to, I mean, first day was probably 12 plus, maybe. Maybe the second day in that 10, 12 range of what we side imaged off the weeds, and we casted it every single one of them, and only one fish came to the boat on a glider and didn't even think about touching the bait, just kind of swam right by it. Like it didn't even, like it was chasing something, but yet it didn't exist. So there's times for sure where those fish out deeper can be active, but with how shitty that weather was, I think it pulled off so many fish off structure, and all of those fish got so lazy because our temperatures were ranging from 64, even 63 and a half in the morning, up to 72, 73 by 2 p.m., which is just terrible. You never want to see temperature changes even over 5 degrees in a day. That puts fish in terrible funks, about every time I've seen that happen. I was honestly surprised in some of those days that people even did catch fish. I was out there thinking, like, how the hell are we gonna get a fish to bite? I mean, it's just the weather was so draining. I can, you know, the confidence levels just plummeted. Like, if half an hour after moving a fish, like, you get excited moving one or something, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh God, this is getting tough.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of fast forward towards the end of the week, like seeing a fish on side image. Typically during a tournament, you're kind of like, okay, we got one in our crosshairs, you know, if you don't see him prior to whatever. But if you see him on electronics, you're kind of like, oh, okay, we got one going. And at this point, I mean, after the first like half a dozen, like Gus said, it was just like, all right, whatever, take a pitch cast at it. And if it didn't come to the boat, like we're just leaving it alone because there's just a 0% chance that that thing is doing anything else besides just sitting on the bottom, breathing. I mean, that's what it honestly felt like. It was maddening. I mean, it was really maddening because it's like we're in the right areas. We're on, you know, quote unquote fish. They just weren't active. So, I mean, I guess to kind of go back to Friday and hitting on the lone real highlight of the weekend. I don't know what about that window or that spot, you know, had a fish that fired up, but you know, realistically, that was the hottest fish we had up all weekend. You know, it was another spot that we figured there would be a fish on, and you know, it was granted towards kind of the end of the major, but I mean, that first 2 hours of the major was really, again, just mostly filled with lazy fish coming to the boat, and then all of a sudden, out of absolutely nowhere, there's a fish going completely suicidal on a bucktail. And the funny part about that fish was, like, you know, we're fishing. It is at this point, I think, I don't know when I got that fish, Gus, probably around, was it about
Just
10
before
a.m.?
time,
Yeah. So just
9:50
before
or
10,
something.
we'd been fishing for about 2.5 hours. And, you know, it was like at this point, the sun was completely up. You know, not a breath of wind. It's just kind of sweltering out there. And I was throwing a bucktail as a chain staple. And I'm just like thinking in my head, I'm like, there is just no way on God's earth right now that a fish is going to chase down a bucktail. Like, I got to change to something, whether it's a glider, crank, rip rubber. I know, I think Gus at the time was ripping a Medusa. I'm like, should I go to a tube and just kind of go double rubber with him? And then we're talking through it. He's actually getting out some different rubber options for me. And of course, that's when that fish just comes completely unglued. I saw him actually swim up to the side of the bait for like a half a second, and then he just turned around and smoked it. So it was a really cool visual. Quick fight, quick net. We were both just ecstatic, and that kind of like rejuvenated us. Like, holy shit, like this can actually work. you know, let's go. We might have found a little bit of something here with this bait, because I was changing bucktails all morning. It was like lazy follow, and then the first fish we saw on this particular bucktail came in and just, like I said, completely came unglued. You know, it was a no doubter, and that took a lot of the pressure off, obviously, because in the championship you got to catch a fish on Friday or Saturday to make it to Sunday. With the tough conditions, we just kept saying all Friday morning, like, we just got to get one early, stay in the game. You know, we just want to be in the mix come Sunday and have a chance. So once that fish hit the net, it was like all the stress relief just kind of like came over. And it was just kind of off to the races from there. But yeah, that was a good one. That was fun. Always fun to catch a fish in the championship.
Yeah.
I was pretty fired up.
I mean, I think what some people don't realize is how nerve wracking and tough it can be just to bag a 30 incher and 2 full days of fishing to make it to that Sunday. It was definitely on the back of my mind, like, oh my God, we're on home water. If this doesn't happen, you know, that's just the way it is. But I was very relieved as well when that thing hit the bag that actually happened. Max was spot on. I was pretty much with him on the fact that I don't know why something would eat a bucktail right now, but I think my only reasoning to maybe keep them going with it or Max thinking to keep using it was that it was during the major, and I wasn't getting anything to move on rubber. And usually that can be a good or a bad sign that the first fish you do come across is going to crush the rubber bait. Or I've had plenty of days in the chain where I've talked to Max about this, where I've done back-to-back days on the chain where one day they won't even think about looking at a bucktail. First through bucktail, never gets a single follow, and then the next two baits are, say, a swimming dog and some sort of other rubber bait, and they get crushed or all the follows all day. And then the next day, they won't even touch a rubber bait. They'll only lazy follow it, and they will just hammer bucktails all day long. So that's kind of like why our game plan was starting with rubber and blades, to just kind of get a feel for what was it going to be that day. And it did take a little while, and we definitely figured out that they were going to hammer blades. And in hindsight, looking back, I probably should have put down the rubber baits a little bit more during that time frame once we got that fish, to maybe do double bucktail or try something else kind of in there. But you know, that's just something we're learning from looking back and reading the signs and trying to read the water on the chain, because it's ever evolving out there. You know, nothing stays too consistent these days with the amount of pressure that it receives. That, you know, there's a couple constants I've found out there, but more or less, you got to think of every single day as a brand new day on looking to see what they're going to eat. That's kind of what I've found on the chain.
Yeah. And I mean, we really thought we found like a golden ticket, you know, with that specific bucktail. Like the whole reason why I think it worked, it was a super, you know, natural bucktail with a very small skirt. You know, I didn't was throwing big flashy stuff all morning, just getting those follows. So I figured I would try to, with really like no wind and pure sun, I wanted something that was just a lot more natural, kind of quieter through the water, smaller profile. So maybe kind of figured a fish might make a mistake a little bit easier. So I was happy with the selection, got that fish to go. And then it was like totally game on from there. I mean, the next 2 hours of fishing was like, you know, realistically could have freaking won the tournament in that 2 hour stretch. But it just was one of those deals where, you know, in musky fishing, when the bounces aren't going your way, they just don't. And I mean, we had, after that, had a handful of extremely hot fish up swinging at the bucktail, missing it. And it was like, that was the only bait that they were looking at. Didn't matter what Gus threw on. It wasn't going to get the same response that particular bucktail was getting. I mean, we moved an exceptionally hot fish right after that didn't eat, kind of continued to move fish, you know, throughout that afternoon with fish, like I said, literally coming up and trying to eat the bucktail and just like missing. So I don't know if that was a weather thing or a luck thing or what that was, but You know, visually seeing fish like open up their mouths and try to eat and then not nipping at the back of the bait. I mean, one of the fish that I had coming on the bucktail was trying to eat the dang thing for about 60 yards. I could see him coming in and just kept, you know, feeling him bump the back of the bait over and over and over again. So, yeah.
All right, so going into the latter half of the day, then on Friday, seemed like a lot of the same. Continue to slow down. What was the word out there?
I mean, I think we had those fish that Max was talking about up to the boat, trying to eat the bucktails, and we were trying to replicate that pattern, but just going to different spots. 'Cause another thing that we found over the weekend, which is very unfortunate for us, was that when we raised fish, we never got those fish back up to the boat. We only had one other fish successfully raised twice in 2 different days, and it was even lazier than the first day. So that it was screwing with our game plan, where we kind of felt like we did need to slightly run and gun and get to different spots, get to different lakes, throw that same bait over these fish, over new fish, I should say, and see how they would react. So I think fast forward later in Friday, we knew we had the one fish. That was, a huge weight lifted off the shoulders, which kind of gave me the idea to do a run. Where I would say if we did not have a fish in the boat, would not have made a run like this. We went to one of the smaller lakes, and I told Max that sometimes on really crappy hot weather, this lake can produce a dumb bite in the afternoon, moon or not, doesn't matter, seems like. So we did a shot in the dark there, did one little drift in one spot, kind of did the rest of this other little area there to see nothing. So I was kind of like, well, dang it, that didn't really work. We might as well stay at this other lake near us that we haven't really hit yet today, and just go kind of hit all the good spots I know about here. I know it's been hammered all day, but maybe we can get lucky and find a fresh fish that's filtering in and out of these spots. And by this time it was well past 3 o'clock, and Max had up a, what did you say? You didn't know exactly, but you knew it was either borderline 30 or maybe more like 28 or so inches in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes or something like that.
Yeah,
And
hard to say.
yeah, I don't think you said it was particularly hot, or maybe it was. I don't know if you, and it burned off of it. Yeah. Okay. So it did that. And yeah, I was in the, I think you're still throwing that bucktail. And in the back, I was experimenting with so many things. I was throwing a glide, and I was saying, screw it, I'm just gonna toss out. I don't care if it's maybe not quite 30. I kind of want to try and catch this thing. And last couple minutes of day one, it crushed the glide bait and set the hook, and this little sporty fish comes flying out, and it was not a small glide bait. It's like a 7, 8 inch glide bait, hard body. And that little guy just freaking threw that thing around, went fully in the air and spit it. And I'm at least telling myself now that it was for sure not 30, but I guess maybe could have been close. But I'd say more along the 27, 28, maybe 29 inch range, just to make myself feel better. But we were fishing. That was actually kind of funny. We were fishing right next to Ty and Tate. They're in like a different little section of the spot. We were on like a mid lake thing. They're on like a shoreline thing, and they kind of pull off of that spot. Looked like they were done anyways, and they go by, and they're like, "Oh, what just happened?" I'm like, "Ah, I just lost one, but I don't think it was 30."
She
And they're
tell me
like,
the
"Oh,
giant.
that's, yeah, it was a giant, right?" And we see them go buzz into a spot that we're thinking about going to in the last, like, I think they buzzed there at like 353, 354, and we're like, all right, got trying to get a little last minute fish there. And we polish off the spot we're in, clean up, and then we go buzzing back to take out, and we see that Ty and Tate really never moved, and they're still not like packing up much, and turns out their day one fish was caught right there in the last like 2 minutes of day one. So
Jesus, buzzer beater.
Yeah. So seemed like every single day there was like a buzzer beater fish, or people were moving fish like right at the end there. Not to get ahead of ourselves, but we had kind of a similar thing going on Saturday. But either way, that recaps Friday. We got the one fish in the bag. We were stoked there. 36 and a half. We had no idea what to expect after day one. We knew the bite had to have been slow. I mean, if there was a ton of fish caught, I would have been a little baffled at that. We didn't exactly know what to expect when going to the meeting after day one. Max and I, we got the one fish and we didn't really ask anybody like, hey, are we maybe in the top five? Should we come and hang out? So if you do call on us, like we can go up and Tim can do whatever his thing is, like live Facebook. We just wanted to go just to see, you know, what the results were in real time. And turns out it, after day one, our 36 and a half put us at second place for the time being, which was pretty insane that one small fish can put you there. That's goes to show that the bite was really tough. There was 11 fish caught on day one. I think majority of them were low 30s, and the 36 and a half tied for biggest of the day. So if that goes to show on the bite that was going on the chain, I don't know what else would.
Doesn't really kind of give an idea for what the chain has pushed out this year. I mean, I think it's known for volume and smaller fish, but we've heard of some of the biggest fish ever out of the chain this season, and it didn't really show it, at least on day one. What happened day two, though? Did the numbers go up much? Any sizable fish show themselves for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying prior, I mean, we moved some really nice fish on Friday. So, yeah, I mean, we definitely saw, you know, opportunities that way. But, yeah, I mean, there's only a few nice fish caught throughout the entire tournament. I mean, the team that came in first got their 46 and a half on Saturday, day two. We had another handful of chances on Saturday as well to put some nice fish in the bag, but it was kind of the same thing. A lot of people were saying, you know, the folks that were on fish were seeing them, they're just lazy. So, I mean, it's just a timing thing like it is in any tournament, but this one felt like more than most.
All right. So going into Saturday, then you guys are in second place, a little bit of a shock to you guys. Any change of game plan after what you guys saw Friday?
No, I wouldn't say. I think we just wanted to stick to what we were doing because we were on fish on Friday. We just figured that there would be another window sometime on Saturday that they would go. You know, at that point, we kind of knew what we were in for the rest of the weekend, which was going to be an extremely tough bite, barring any large unforeseen change. So, yeah, we just really wanted to be on the right spot when that window opened on Saturday, and it just wasn't in the cards for us, unfortunately. I think there was definitely a little bit of extra pressure, Gus, would you say, after figuring out we were in second place?
Yeah.
After day one, being like, wow, we didn't really feel like we even did that well. We missed out on a lot of opportunities, and here we are sitting in second, like we could really do something here today, and then it just never happened. So that was, I think
the pressure got more because I felt like it's like, all right, well, if it's really not going to take a whole lot to get this tournament in wraps, you know, coming first or second or top five, like all it's going to take maybe is only one or two more bites for the tournament. And, you know, that was where the added pressure came in, because it's like, all right, we spend a ton of time in the chain. We caught the first one within the first 3 hours. There's no way we possibly could go another 21 hours without getting a bite, right? And we never got a true bite after that. It was only the one hard hit, and we had multiple swing and misses and a couple, you know, bucktail swipes, particularly on Saturday, which is why I know for sure me, and I know you were as well, Max, I was getting quite frustrated with these fish, because, you know, we kept going back on them and on where we found them on day one. During the moon phases, we weren't seeing nothing. We'd side image them off the break. They're lazy, then I'll get out. And you know, just the timing thing was not lining up, and it was just really frustrating me that we couldn't get nothing going on all these A1 spots. I mean, we fished the chain a ton, so, you know, realistically, like, in September or this early October time frame, like, we have a pretty darn good idea on where they usually like to be. They can be a little bit predictable in that sense. There's a few one-off spots you can find them, but man, they just seem to, it's that time of year where they start to load up again, and I'd think they'd reload on these spots, and we just weren't really getting those bounces at all, which was unfortunate. But no, I think Saturday kind of just snowballed into another day of frustration, raising fish and side imaging a whole crap load of fish and not getting another true bite. And, you know, after seeing the results again on day two, we get bumped out of the top five. But even with that still one fish, we're sitting in sixth place after day two, which still, you know, at least gave us the confidence, like, hey, we're one or two bites away from getting, you know, top five for sure, probably, and maybe something even better. And that was kind of giving us that extra boost to keep going and just keep
Brian,
on casting.
Brian,
and
if you were out there, if you were out there, I think people would want to know, you know, what do you think you'd be doing if you were on the chain and the bite was that tough? You know, what do you think you would have done to maybe trigger one of these fish, or, you know?
I don't know. I was just trying to think through baits in my head. I was going to ask you guys about baits, but I don't know. I would definitely be running through the whole box. I'd probably be looking for something with a bigger pause or something I can work really slow over the weeds.
The problem with that, though, is when we did that, the fish just got lazier. Yeah. Like, we would have fish come in on dive and rise baits, and they would, like, mouth around the bait when they would come into the eight.
I always think to go smaller on the chain if they're not attacking bigger baits.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that wholeheartedly, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one thing I was going to add with the not triggering aspect is, you know, about a month ago when I was kind of discussing with Max about this tournament, I'm like, man, if we get that really good cool down, like, we should be able to use our tried and trues on dive and rise and crankbaits, you know, if that water temp is in that mid to low 60s or something perfect like that, we can do a lot of pull pause things, and maybe it doesn't have to be some sort of bucktail bite. And the water temp just was too warm. I think when that temp shot up, any of those fish that were shallow, it was just that good temperature where you got to trigger the shit out of them and have fast moving baits. I mean, we're talking 70 to 73 water temp. That's not very cold. That's very, very warm for this time of year. So I think that's why a lot of fish did need that speed. And it sounded like a good amount of people did do that. Although we did hear some, you know, other people having some success on gliders and other rubber baits with blades off the back. But the one thing I don't remember getting any info on was how people were working them, if they were working them pretty aggressively or not.
I was trying to
on pull pause stuff.
Yeah, I mean, really the majority of our action just came on burning small bucktails. I mean, that was what it really would have boiled down to. I mean, I think the biggest takeaway I had from this entire event was just how close you can be to, you know, realistically winning these tournaments just with, like, a fish or two reacting, you know, within centimeters differently than how it reacted. Like, obviously it doesn't matter or mean anything if you don't hook these fish, but it's like a handful of these fish were legitimately, in my opinion, trying to eat these baits. Like, they were, first time I've ever really seen this from the chain stuff, but like when we were fishing the really gunky shallow weeds, I mean, they were coming just completely straight vertical trying to hit bucktails. And like when you know that you just need like one more bite or two more bites to like potentially take home a boat, to watch a 40 or 41 inch fish come straight vertical on a bucktail and miss it right in front of your face, and you're just like, oh my god, like, why did you not just eat that freaking bait, you stupid muskie? Like, that was a part that was just driving us, I think, totally insane. So I mean, we don't need to like continue to labor on. Obviously, Sunday it was what it was. I mean, you know, the wind kicked up like Gus said, but it was just like a shitty northeast dry wind. So, you know, not a lot of fish again were caught on Sunday. A few people got it done, but yeah, overall it was just an extremely difficult bite. That, you know, like I said when we started the podcast, I wish things would have lined up a little bit differently for this tournament. You know, who knows what the results would have been, but God, did it make for a long, long 2.5 days of fishing on the chain.
Would you guys hope that they have the tournament on the championship on the chain again, or would you rather see it as like a second leg or third leg in the trail?
It's a good question.
This is a good question. It's hard to say because that late June time frame, it lines up, you know, with a potential first wave of, you know, mega push to structure, or you could have a big old bug hatch, you know, if temperatures line up. And that's, you know, good or bad for, you know, you get people from all over. You get a lot of people trolling on the chain, and I definitely have unfortunately seen the trolling bite really take a downhill turn from the added pressure, which is a bummer because I do enjoy trolling during that time frame because the fish do push out and they spread out and they get, you know, sometimes tough to target if you're just casting, and it's nice trolling to find them, but sucks when you go over
there. I liked it for the championship though.
Yeah, that's
honest. I think a smaller field, that's kind of why I liked it. And I mean, just seeing how it spread out during the championship with only 36 boats, I think that's kind of a proper way to fish the chain for a tournament. I think when you have those like 100 plus boat tournaments out there, it gets a little bit, you know, bumper cars.
But I guess maybe it's a two-part question. I mean, in terms of the chain's publicity or whatever, or the chain being able to, you know, have the most fish caught on it, I guess Gus is kind of split between like late June window and this championship September window, just because, I mean, September obviously can be either red hot when the fish push it up shallow, or you get a front like that and it shuts off. I think the same with June. They get caught in between a bug hatch and a weed bite and it goes back and forth. But I mean, and for you guys, would you rather have the pressure of having a championship on the chain, you know, at the same time, you know, the water better than anywhere, or would you rather go to Chippewa Flowage or somewhere new for a championship?
I'd like another crack at it, fishing a championship on the chain.
Yeah, me too.
I think there'd be some things we do maybe a little differently, but I don't know. But I think if the question is like just in general, if you'd rather fish a tournament not on the chain, like I'd always probably prefer to go to a different new body of water. I think it just at this point, after I don't know if you can tell through my voice, like just talking about it is getting me kind of like frustrated again, because it's like, man, we felt like we were so damn close. Like now I just want another shot to do it again. Cause it's like to have it, you know, even though we ended up, I think in like eighth place, I mean, realistically, it felt like we were in it, you know, up until the last hour was really the first time we kind of started being like, well, that was something. I mean, we fished insanely hard and never really thought anything different than we felt like we had a chance to win that tournament literally up until the last, probably, like I said, hour 30 minutes when we kind of started to wave the white flag. Like, yeah, this just isn't going to work out. And, you know, it's just, so yeah, I guess I don't know how much I answered your question, but I would definitely want another crack at it if they ever came back to Eagle River for the championship.
Yeah, I'd be totally game for it as well. Just as Max said, looking for redemption, looking back, seeing if there's really anything we could change or what we would do differently. About the only thing I wish would have changed is just literally the weather. You know, I think there was a funny statement said on day one or two, whenever Nate and Brian were called up to the stage, you know, Osfer and Krell, and Nate goes, well, there's good and bad news. Good news is we're going to Sunday. The bad news is we're going to Sunday. Because it's just like there's no pattern right now. The weather is terrible. Everybody out there is just sweating their asses off. And it's just, it was brutal. It was very draining. to fish, because we're always going to fish hard in tournaments, but if it's that tough and we're just sweating the whole time, and you know, there's points where I was just, you know, if I wasn't drinking enough water, I was starting to get a little dizzy and felt really uncomfortable. You know, I had to
Oh
stop a
yeah, I
few
was getting
times and
like
realize
nauseous
like I
out
need to
there.
probably take care of myself for a second here.
Being blue.
Yeah, I mean, it probably ended up being one of the hotter tournaments we've ever fished in. It was in late September.
Yeah, who would have guessed that? That's not really what we were expecting. We saw the weather going into the tournament. I don't think it said it was going to be what it was, and we got that huge push from, I think, unfortunately, I think that hurricane down south pushed a crap load of different weird and warm weather kind of across the country. So
I mean,
that,
I've maybe I'm remembering wrong, but I feel like in, you know, a few years ago we had turnover here in like a week, and then you guys just got done fishing a 80-degree weekend.
yeah, it's a little messed up, but the water temps are dropping, you know, quickly. We just got some, finally, some freaking wind, but the wind showed up and was like, all right, we're gonna give you wind, but it's gonna be like 30 to 40 miles an hour, if that's all right.
My favorite.
So that's my
It's my
favorite.
favorite saying right there.
But water
Yeah.
temps are back into like low to mid 60s. And I wouldn't, yeah, I did see some low 60s. You know, it just depends on how skinny of water, shallow water you're in, on what you're gonna find out there. But still in the 60s up here. And we're about to get nights in the 30s, so
You got
turnover is
a
within, I don't know, it's got to be within 2 weeks, maybe, unless we get another warm snap. Might not be turning over until freaking November or something. I don't know. It's just
Yeah,
getting
it
pushed
looks
back.
like you still have highs up there that are going to be hitting low to mid 70s a few times over the
Oh,
next week.
dude,
So,
no.
yeah, I don't
I
know,
think this
but
great
yeah.
September cool down that everybody raves about has just like not really been the case the last few years. Like you got to hit it in like a 4 or 5 day window every year, but outside of that, September's just kind of been
Maybe it'll
hot.
be the October cool down that's fire. Maybe
Yeah,
wait
I
a
think
couple
that's
weeks.
something we've probably made the mistake of, is transitioning to fishing too deep too quickly. So we'll put that to the test a little bit this weekend and next few weekends, depending on how much I get up there, but you know, Gus will be on the water. But yeah, I think to maybe put a bow on this event, obviously, I think we've probably done a sufficient amount of bitching about the weather conditions, all that stuff. You know, I think to end on more of a positive note, another great year, fishing the trail, a lot of fun. I think we learned just an absolute crap ton of you know, different things this year. Definitely, I think each event was a very tough bite. So I
Yeah.
think that in itself is a good lesson to be learned. You know, fish were still caught in each event, but yeah, another good year, man. Second place for team of the year. You know, we didn't really have a legit shot after Summers and Watusik started doing well in this event, which was all good. We kind of knew we blew our chance when that fish didn't hit the net in Madison, but
Yeah.
you
Hey,
know.
but you never know. Maybe we go to talk
Yeah.
on blank after getting that fish in
Right,
Madison. You
right,
never know.
right. You just never know. So, but yeah, no, really, really good fun year. This tournament stuff has been honestly a blast. I would highly recommend anybody that's considering doing it, even if it's not the PMTT trail. It's any other tournaments, either local or any other different types of trails that are close to you, to hop on them and do them if you can. Because yeah, I just think you benefit a lot fishing tournaments and learning from other
Yeah.
anglers. So yeah, really, really enjoyed it this year, man. It's a good time.
Yeah, had an absolute blast, and yeah, I can't recommend tournaments enough. Learn so much so quickly. Meet a lot of great people too. That's another big thing with the tournaments that we really like, is the social aspect on all the characters in the Muskie game and meeting them all, and it's a blast. Definitely enjoy that, and just wanted to give thanks out to all those that tuning in to all the Muskies on Taps that are following along our journey on the tournaments. We really appreciate it. We get some messages from you guys and always appreciate that. And it's cool to see that some of you are, you know, actually caring about this and following along. It's pretty cool. It makes makes it a lot of fun. So appreciate you guys out
Shout
there,
out.
Guys and gals.
Yeah, what's up, Brian?
Let me ask you guys a quick question. Looking ahead to PMTT for next year.
Here he is.
So it can be a quick answer, but you got one tournament that you absolutely, or one location, I should say, that you absolutely do not want to go to or to see on next year's schedule, and one place you hope the trail goes next year.
Ooh, I like it.
Want to go first, Max?
Yeah. I mean, it's an easy answer for me. It's Madison, no doubt.
Damn.
I mean,
I was gonna say the same.
A lot Damn. Of big fish, I think, still left in there. I just think the way it lays out for tournaments is just not. I don't know. I don't
It's
wanna,
not that fun.
I don't want
to
piss
fish,
anyone off.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
But
I
like,
know.
It's
Sorry.
Just two big weed bowls. You're getting in line and you hope to God that your timing's better than somebody else's, or you found a lure that works better than somebody else, which I guess in the grand scheme of things probably has a lot. That's a lot of times in tournaments, but I think Madison more than other, it's like, you know, you find the depth that they're at, and then it's like, well, wait, that person also figured it out. And oh yeah, that boat figured it out too. And then you look down the line and it's just like boat, 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 boat. And everyone's doing a big clockwise circle. But
I'm kind of shocked there. I thought we'd get two Kentuckys, but y'all kind of like the South, huh?
I like that little journey there. You know, the fishing definitely is not all that what it's cracked up to be as it used to be, I should say. Not that. That's a poor choice of words. I think it just hasn't been how it used to be. And, you know, I don't know if like some of these tournaments are just going there at the wrong time, because I know that Madison can freaking light off and you can go catch 5, 6 fish in a day and have a lot of them be really nice. We saw the potential in year one, but freaking that year, Wabisa was all dirtied up. The weeds were gorgeous. They were coming up nicely. And I know everyone was saying the same about Monona. And then this year, we get there and it's high water. They're raking out half the weeds and the clarity is like 5 feet better than it's like damn near gin clear. And we're like, okay, what the hell's going on here? This is not what we're kind of hoping for. And after talking to some locals, they said that just overall early June is kind of not that good out there.
Yeah.
So,
I just think too, like there's something with fishing tournaments in metro areas, you know, it just kind of doesn't have that same vibe. Like we're taking off, well, I guess, you know, we're both are quote unquote taking off work to go and venture out to these stops. You know, obviously we're sounding probably a little bit picky here, but like to go do some destinational type fishing, like it's kind of hard to get pumped up to go and like stay in a Madison, or even for me, like this year Tonka was really sweet, but it's like it's kind of fun to get out, go explore some new waters. I'll stay at a, you know, kind of a cabin type place and a different scene. These kind of like inner city type lakes are just not really like high on my bucket list to go and like take time off and go fish. And obviously that's a little bit of the you know, what you kind of force yourself into when you fish like a PMTT trail or something like that, is you're getting dictated to what waters you go fish. And I think that's why there are people that don't like doing them as much. But I guess if I could have it, you know, if you're asking the question of like which one I wouldn't want to go back to, so far I think it would probably be Madison. And then and I do, as much as I kind of was a little bit frustrated with Cave because of the bite being so slow, it's a lot more scenic down there. It's like a really cool area, you know. Yeah. It's kind of just way different type of fishing. Like I'm not used to that, so it's kind of like a cool new experience. Man, place that I'd want to see the trail go to. Gus, does anything come to your top of mind right now? I'm trying to think.
I would say it would either be
or go back to
Vermilion, obviously, yeah. Or I would say that I would love to go and try that Cass Bemidji area. It would be kind of cool.
Detroit, you know, Lakes.
What's that? Oh, Detroit Lakes. Yeah.
Have they ever done that?
They've gone out to Western Minnesota before.
I think they had a championship on Miltona once, since that's kind of not exactly a lake you can put 120 boats on, but it's a lake you can put, you know, the championship amount on.
I would be interested to see if they would ever consider doing it on like a Manitouish chain or a Minocqua chain,
Yeah,
or
that's for a lot
just
of
the
the
Three
old
Lakes chain,
Wisconsin.
you know.
Yeah,
Yeah,
bringing
some of
back
those
Three
old.
Lakes. The old WMTs would always go there. They'd be circling around all sorts of chains in the Phyllis Oneida, and I'm sure they held them on some Hayward area lakes too.
Yeah, I guess like to maybe even
Maybe do
do.
the Le Coudray chain, like put
Right.
on like brown Le
That'd be
Coudray
cool, yeah.
grindstone. I mean, I don't know.
And then, I mean, there's probably some really cool areas in Iowa that I think they've gone down to
Oh, go
before.
back to Okoboji chain would be cool. Down
Yeah.
to Indiana and do the Webster chain. I mean, some places that are just absolutely loaded to the gazoo with muskies, where they actually put them into the lake. Up here, maybe they don't, maybe they do. Not really sure anymore.
Yeah, we'll have to get into that on a podcast here in the near future. But there's been some lightning work to or like some firework type news that have has come out about the Wisconsin DNR stocking and all
They
that.
lying to us?
Maybe lying to us? Come on.
The one person I thought I could trust.
Government.
Ain't no way.
Your Uncle Sam isn't looking out.
It
Yeah, so no, well, it's you know, interview season's coming up, fellas. We're gonna be getting some good guests on here this late fall and winter, some more long formatted pods. It's gonna be a fun time. But yeah, no, I think it's a good question, Brian. They said that they're gonna switch things up next year. I have no idea what that means.
we'll see.
So only time will tell.
Introducing leg one, Kentucky, leg two, Madison. Like, oh shit, here we go again.
I don't know if you'll be seeing Gus and I's face on the trail if it starts out Cave Run in Madison again. Cave, I could be okay with, I guess, but yeah, Cave Madison to start the year is gonna be a tough sell. Never say never, but I'm just saying it's gonna be a tough sell.
Well, I think that wraps up the pod here tonight, fellas. It's getting a little late. Gotta get this edited up and get to bed, get out guiding. So guess
How
I'll
you pretty booked up for October? How's it looking?
yeah actually very booked until late October. I do have some openings, and if any of you crazy peeps want to get out in the boat with me in November, I have some possible openings. Not quite sure. I mean, it's ice up dependent. You just never know. I mean,
Ice might never come this year.
warm early fall could mean just absolutely freezing late fall. So you just never know. We've seen that with ice coming off this year. We had a really warm early spring, and then May was like freaking freezing again. So you just never know up here. But if you do want to get out late in the fall, just get in touch with me. You can find my guide service, all the info at www.sugsfishing.com. It's spelled SUGS fishing. Same with Instagram and Facebook is Suggs Fishing, or add me as a friend, Gus Manti, on Facebook. And also the Muskies on Tap podcast itself. You're listening to it obviously on any of the platforms that we got it on, but you can find our Instagram as just at Muskies on Tap. So follow along, keep following along the journey. We'll have some, like Max said, great guests this winter. Still kind of in the heat of guiding for me, so it's a little tough getting guests on consistently. But thanks again for tuning in to another week of Muskies on Tap. I think we're going to let Brian here take us away.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Muskies on Tap. We did not have a guest on, so no shout out this week, but shout out to the two guys on this pod for taking second in the Top Gun this year. Great season for everybody involved. Looking forward to next year. We will not be talking about the Packers and the Vikings this week on the podcast. That was a fluke game. We will see them in December. My President's Cup
Facts.
prediction looked promising after day two. Did not turn out. The Internationals Day will be coming soon, but not this year. U.S. reigns supreme again.
And how about that Bama Roll Tide? Incredible showing against Georgia.
All right.
Favorites to win the championship? I mean, that
All
Jalen
right. All
Milroe kid might end up winning the
right.
Heisman.
Wrap it up.
All right. 9 5
Good night.
All right, I guess.